Appreciate all the good songs. Thankful to be here today and glad to see all of you. And on behalf of Fairview Memorial, we want to extend a warm welcome to our visitors today. Glad to have you with us, and we want you to feel welcome. I want to make a few announcements before I begin today with the things the Lord has placed upon my heart. Brother Strode, as you noticed, was not able to be with us today. He's going to be having surgery, at least that's the schedule right now. He's going to be having surgery Tuesday morning at the medical center, and he just, the last couple of days here has developed a lot of pain and was not able to be here. So let's remember him in our prayers, and tonight will be the third Sunday night singing, but we're not having a group tonight. We'll just be having congregational singing and probably some song practice as well. So let's remember the singing tonight at 6 o'clock. Let's remember the ladies' Bible study tomorrow morning at 9:30. And then let's remember our services Wednesday evening. And I'm not quite sure about the youth singing practice Wednesday evening. Do you know, Sister Jeannie, do you know? Is okay, singing practice at 5:15 Wednesday evening, and then youth group meeting at 6 and prayer meeting at 6:30. And so let's remember these things and keep them in our prayers. And I certainly ask your prayers today. I want to call your attention to a scripture reading found in Matthew chapter 21. I want to read today about a very notable event in the life of Jesus while he was here on earth. In Matthew chapter 21, I want to begin reading there with the first verse. It says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughters of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting up on an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went, and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they sat him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And I want to stop my reading there with that 11th verse, having read the first 11 verses for a scripture reading today. And I want you to notice, there was a prophecy here spoken of from the prophet Zechariah in the 5th verse. It said, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. And I want to use this for a title today, and that being the King is coming again. The King is coming again. And if any of you were able this morning to watch the old-fashioned gospel hour, Brother Dyer preached this subject this morning. And yesterday, Fairview Memorial had been invited to Victory Missionary Baptist Church to an ordination that was there yesterday, and I had the opportunity to attend that. And I was asked by the presbytery to lead the interrogation. They ordained Brother Patrick Houston to the office of deacon, and I was chosen by the presbytery to lead the interrogation. And I asked him about, in the beginning of that, about the creation. He to tell us how he believed that this world and the human family and all that's here got here, and he said that he believed that God had created everything. He had created the world and all things in the world. And towards the end of that, I asked him, I said, now, the world that you spoke about earlier that you said God created, I said, is this an eternal world? And he said, no, the Lord is coming back. And he'll bring an end to this world. He will destroy this world. And you know what? That's right, isn't it? That's exactly what the scriptures teach us. He is coming again. And when he does, time is going to be brought to an end. Now, there's something that, and I know that you've heard this many, many times, and there's something that in the beginning of this that I need to say, that the scriptures teach us that we do not know when this will be. We do not have the knowledge of when he is coming again. In my personal belief, I believe he will be here soon. I believe that perhaps the people of God that will soon go home to be with the Lord. But when that's going to be, we don't know. There have been those throughout the years that have been foolish enough to predict, some even down to the very day, that the Lord was going to come, and they have all been wrong. And so that's something that we just don't know. But there are things that the scriptures tell us about that day. There are things that the scriptures tell us that we can expect to see when that takes place. And I'm going to say this, that the coming of the Lord is going to far exceed a total eclipse. I mean, it's going to go way beyond. It seems like that people are going crazy about what they're saying is going to happen tomorrow. But I'm going to tell you that this, my friends, will be the big show. And we will see something like we have never seen. And so I want you to think about that. Now, one thing that the scriptures, another thing rather, that the scriptures teach us, even though Jesus plainly told us in the 24th chapter of Matthew that there is no man that knows that day or that hour, the scriptures also teach us that his coming is imminent, that his coming will take place. And that's one of the things that we read about it in the third chapter of 2 Peter, when he spoke about the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can read there in the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, we can read there how that after Jesus had been crucified, after that he had resurrected, after he had spent time, a short time on earth after that with his disciples, that they watched him ascend back to heaven. And we read here in the last verse that I read from the scripture lesson today, it said, the multitude said, this is Jesus, this one that was riding into Jerusalem. It said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And so there in the first chapter of Acts, we read that as the 11 watched him ascend into heaven, the Bible says that a cloud received him out of their sight, and there were two angels that appeared unto them and asked them this, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you've seen him go. It will be the same Jesus. The Jesus that is coming back, the king that is coming again, is the same king that we read about here in the 21st chapter of Matthew that rode into Jerusalem on the donkey. It's not a different Jesus. There's only been one. And the same Jesus is coming again. But the Apostle Peter, as I said there in 2 Peter chapter 3, he said that in the last days there would come scoffers. And they would be saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. You know, Peter said, there'll be people that'll be mocking. There'll be people that'll be scoffing at this. The message that I have upon my heart to bring before you today, there are people that would just laugh at that and scoff at that thought that Jesus is going to come again one day. And the scriptures tell us, we were warned by the Apostle Peter that there would be people of that belief and of that attitude that would scoff at the promise of his coming. But he went on and he said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. You know, listen, Jesus is going to come back because Jesus promised that he would. If you read the 14th chapter of John, you'll find there that when he spoke to his disciples, that he promised them he would be back. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So he made the promise that he would come again, and the Lord never breaks a promise. And so his coming is absolute. His return is imminent. And so the Apostle Peter, he went on and wrote, he said, just because there's people that will scoff and say, he's not coming back. We've been hearing that for years, and things are just continuing as they were. He's not coming back. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Personally, have you ever heard that? I have. I've heard people in my life saying, I don't believe this stuff about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. Look, we've been hearing that all our lives, and we're still here, and we haven't seen him yet. But the Apostle Peter said that just because there are people that will make fun of it and scoff at it doesn't mean that it won't come to pass. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I want to say this today to anybody here that's lost and in your sins, the Lord is extending to you his mercy and his grace. He is extending to you the opportunity to seek him for the salvation of your soul. Regardless of all that, even though he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, in the very next verse, the Apostle Peter said, but the day of the Lord will come. It will come. And he said that it would come as a thief in the night. Now, this is the way that I understand what the scriptures tell us. Jesus, in the 24th chapter of Matthew, when he spoke about the fact that there is no man that knows the day or the hour of his coming, he went on to say, but as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Well, what was the comparison that he was making there? What was it that he was saying about the days of Noah? Well, he said that they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And so Jesus said that it would be like that when he returns. And this is what I take from that, that the human family will be going on with life like we always have. There will be things that have been happening among us from day to day that will still be happening, just like Peter, or just like Jesus said, eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage, and suddenly, they were taken away by the flood. He will come as a thief in the night. Listen, if you're lost and without the Lord, you need to get ready right now. You need to seek the Lord right now. That's what Jesus warned and said, be ready. You don't know when he's coming. Be ready. And, you know, sometimes people say, and I believe this is just another way that people listen to the devil. But sometimes people say, well, preacher, you don't know if he's coming today. Well, let me ask you this. Do you know that he won't? Do you know that that today won't be the day that he will suddenly come? And listen, my friends, when he does, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late for you to do anything about it. The Bible does not teach us that when people see the appearing of the Lord, that when people see him coming again, that they're going to suddenly fall down and seek him and be saved. That's not what the scriptures tell us, and that's not going to happen. If he comes and finds you in your lost and ruined state, it's going to be too late. Too late. You know, the Jesus that came, that we read about here in the 21st chapter of Matthew, the Jesus that, or when Jesus came to this world, the Bible tells us here that that the scripture that was fulfilled in this was that the king was coming unto them there in Jerusalem meek. He was coming unto them meek. If you go back and read the prophecy in Zechariah, he used the word lowly, that he would come lowly. This Jesus, the way that Jesus came to them there in Jerusalem was that he came meek. But listen, I want you to understand that there's a great contrast here, because when he comes again, he's not coming in that state. He's not coming in a meek and a lowly state. I'm telling you, he's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's coming with all power, and he's coming with final deliverance to those that have trusted in him and been saved. And friends, he's coming with final destruction unto those that have not been. Jesus came here one time with love and mercy and grace, and he gave his life a ransom for our sins. The Bible says in the Philippian letter that when he came, that he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But we're not going to see him like that anymore. He's not coming back the next time meek or lowly. He's coming back in all power and all glory and all majesty. The Bible says, teaches us in this same gospel account, in the 25th chapter of Matthew, that he's coming back with the power to gather all the inhabitants of the earth before him. And you know, man, that's a lot of people. I mean, when you think about the fact that there's about 7 billion people, I believe it is, on the earth right now, and think about all the people that have lived throughout time, Jesus is going to come with the authority and the power to gather all people before him. And you know what? He's going to know everybody that's his and everybody that isn't. He will be able, the scriptures teach us there in that 25th chapter of Matthew, that when he comes, he's going to be able to divide his children from those who are not. He will separate them as a shepherd would divide the sheep from the goats. He's going to say unto them on the right hand, he's going to place the sheep on the right hand, his people on the right hand, and he's going to say to them, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he's going to take the goats, those non-believers, those who are not ready, those who are not saved, he's going to take them and he's going to put them on the left hand and he's going to say, I'm going to give you another chance. Nope. He's going to say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I'm going to tell you something. If you can think about that, if you're in a lost state and you can hear that and think about that and it not greatly concern you and bother you in your heart, I'm very concerned about you. I remember hearing these same things when I was lost and without the Lord, and it would just scare me to death. I mean, it would produce a fear in me like I had never known. Listen, when Jesus comes back, he won't be riding on some little old donkey. No. He won't be seen like that. He won't be seen in that humble, low estate. He won't be coming back riding on a little old colt. But the scriptures teach us that he'll come back riding on the clouds, just the way that he left. A cloud received him out of their sight. He's going to come back riding on the clouds. Listen, when he returns, there's not going to be a select number of people that are going to see him. When Jesus rode on this animal into Jerusalem that day, that was a long time ago, and none of us that are here today were there to see that. There was only a select few people that lived on the earth that saw that, that witnessed that. But when Jesus comes back, when the king comes again, that's not going to be the case. If you look in the Revelation chapter 1 in verse 7, it says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, even those that pierced him. All kindreds of the earth are going to wail because of him. Even so, amen. He's coming. There won't be people when he returns. Listen, when the Lord returns and his people see him and begin to rejoice, there won't be those non-believers standing by saying, Jesus, rebuke them for that, like they did when he came into Jerusalem. If you read the account of this in the Gospel according to Luke, we're told that when he made his triumphant entry there into Jerusalem, that when his people began to praise him, there were those that tried to get Jesus to rebuke them for that. And the Lord said, well, if they hold their peace, the rocks will just cry out. Listen, but when the Lord comes again, those that are in unbelief, the Bible teaches me that they're going to beg for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, to hide them from his face. Why? Because it's not the great day of his mercy and love. It's the great day of his wrath. And who shall be able to stand? Oh, listen, when the Lord comes, he'll right every wrong. The Bible teaches us that he'll bring every work into judgment. He'll make straight everything. I want to read some scripture found in the Revelation chapter 6, beginning with verse 12. I believe this describes it very well. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And listen, that's not going to just happen and pass in 2 minutes either, and everything be the same afterwards. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth, if you could imagine it. Even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind, the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together. Listen, every mountain and island were moved out of their places. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bond man, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. Is come. And who shall be able to stand? The Apostle Peter said, even the elements shall melt with fervent. Now, you know, we can take this today and, you know, we can say, well, you know, this is what's been talked about here today is only for the lost to hear. Now, you go read in 2 Peter chapter 3, and he was writing to save people. And here's what he said to him. He said, seeing then that all these things shall pass, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We know the terror of the Lord. And Paul said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Listen, we ought to be trying to persuade men. We ought to be trying to persuade this lost world to get ready. Get ready for what's going to come. That's the manner of people that we ought to be. I want to turn there for just a moment. And I want to read that. I kind of messed it up. 2 Peter 3, verses 10 and 11 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. There's a great day coming. A great day. And every eye will see his return. You say, well, preacher, what if I'm dead? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you've already left this world. Every eye will see him. Even the ones that pierced him. And there'll be wailing because of him. But even so, amen. I know what the Bible tells us will happen to those who are ready. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us that. I'd like for us to have a song. I want to say today, if you're here and you're lost, you better get ready. You better get ready to die. You know, listen, your death may come before the Lord ever returns. And if you die lost and in your sins, it's just too late. It's too late. Jesus said, get ready, because we don't know when he's coming.